Peace be unto you and yours.
To you too, sir.
I'm not a sir, Mr. Johnson.
Sorry, I get the voice now. Look, you see that piece beyond you? There are two people that do it. No, I'll tell you why. Mr. Lewis does it, and sometimes, he does it a little more slowly than you do. So, okay. Yeah, correct. I know who you are now. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
For the morning, so I don't know. I had a procedure done last week, and I don't know if it changed.
If it changed your voice? No, your voice.
Yeah, because you're stuck
about it. It's when your mind moves too fast. I know, Mr.
Okay.
Lewis,
but no
usually
no
goes slow.
No problem.
Yes, ma'am.
No problem.
How can I help you?
Well, Mr. Johnson, I had a call too. I stuck at those two ladies, and I know when you heard those children, how you felt, because I can remember seeing you at your son's graduation, and I feel if you could have walked on here, you would that day. I saw the love and
I hope you didn't see the tears.
That your son was there, going up on that podium. So I know you love children.
I have to tell
I
was in tears that day, okay?
I really was in tears that day. As those children, I don't know if it's Miss Seeley from out here in Fairfield. If it is her, she's a very good woman. I don't know if it's her camp, but Miss Seeley, whoever you are, God bless you. But those children, and that one that's saying, yes, sir, he's a little scout or something. Because
he's a gentleman, man.
He in the scouts. But that is very, very, very good of those children. And I'll tell you something, too. You were saying that people say children drop out. And a lot of them got education and don't speak properly.
Of course, ma'am. I know that.
You know?
And
so,
all of that. Listen, some of our best, well-trained young men sometimes just dive off the deep end for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ma'am, unfortunately, a lot of life is perception. I keep telling people, you see things and you assume. You pass a home, you see everything looks taken care of. The lawn is nice, the fence clean, place well painted, two cars in the garage. And you say, I'm doing all right. Don't know what's happening in there. You see someone walking down the road, they keep their head held high. They say good morning, they're moving along, and you assume, that person you have this morning, a good breakfast, bacon and eggs, drink a cup of tea, and good. Poor person must have had a glass of water and a biscuit, if
that
anything.
That is true, but
they carry them. Correct. And you know what? Those are the people, sometimes, who will give what they don't have.
That is true.
Because
I
that's
do.
How they were, yeah, ma'am, that's how they
I
were
do.
Trained.
I do, I got much, but I, look.
There is something called enough that some people know what that is.
I'm bragging on both saying. But, if I get a biscuit, I try to share it with my other friends because I have friends that was there for me when I really need it. And I don't, I can't, they don't know what I have. I don't care what they got. My neighbors,
correct.
So I have some neighbors here that is very good to me, especially where water is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I just get water for the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I bathe in the dirty one. But there ain't nothing at my house, and I know they have something. When I go there, tell me, look, we got, I ain't care if they got, that if I got a biscuit, and I was raised by her great aunt, this is her mom, because she born in September.
Good people.
That she would, if she get a breadfruit, she would cut it and give us and fix.
Give us
that there for months. Get out this for
yep.
this body.
Yep.
And I came along the same way as her. I ain't got much, and I guess like the way that I am too, because I take my money and I try to help others. Even down the islands, I collect clothes through the month for my needlework and thing. And when you see, I would travel at Christmas time, and when I go down there and the children, especially when I see the glow in the children, all the things that they give them, it really touched my heart. And I was doing that for years. Not bragging or boasting, but you should. That's what I do. And now with this COVID, I have a few friends that was very close to me, and if I get a biscuit, the other day I was talking to a friend, so I said, I got it. But you got another. I said, I get a pint of lardon and I divide it in two. If I get a pack of rice, I divide it in two, and each of them getting some of everything.
It's the way that I was raised, I know that for sure. We came from a poor background. We learned to appreciate the things that we had around us. Christmas wasn't so much about what you got as gifts. It was what people could afford to give you. So if they could give you a book, even if it was a previously owned book, if they know you were interested in, let's say, I don't know, chemistry, or you were interested in mystery and gave your mystery book, you were told to go and say thank you to the person. You called people auntie who had no relation to you whatsoever.
My daughter still does it, and she's in her 30s.
Of course, you were reminded that you called the person auntie if you ever started looking at their daughter, even though they were not related to you. But the truth is, we shared. You know, if you had corn growing in the backyard, you were told to take two roast corn or two corn across to somebody, and they would give you some peas to carry back for the old lady. So you know that Sunday you would get a little peas in the rice.
Yes.
You know, and so on. So it puts you in a, you know, look, Mom, you talk about seeing me at my son's graduation. I will share this with you. I saw a comment yesterday on WhatsApp that hurt me a bit, because it said that, you know, I have this thing against university graduates. You know why I cried at my son's graduation? I cried at my son's graduation because I did not go to university. I did not have the opportunity to go to university. I did not. I have three children. My eldest has an MBA from Harvard and has been invited to do a PhD. I took care of her from age three when her mom and I separated. She's one of the reasons I live. My second daughter is going to celebrate her birthday this month. She's doing a CPA.
Good mom.
I told you so. Great people. She's doing her CPA, having already had her first degrees in accounting. And my
son
has already got his degree in accounting, econ, and he's doing computer software programming in Canada. A boy from nowhere with three university grads who so far have done well with their lives, and they're the reason I live and breathe. So I could not like university graduates. If I say that I did not go to university and I do not expect that once you go there you should get the world, it doesn't mean that I don't like them. Because that's what I tell my children. This is what you do, but don't forget where you've come from or what things that will make you happy. Don't feel that, you know, the only people you speak to are the people up there. When I pass Luther Thorne, and the wonderful ladies outside who sell fish cakes ask me, how's my boy? And I show them a picture and they blow kisses at it. It's because they knew him as a little boy walking in there in short pants, and they still know him. They feel his achievements are their achievements. That's why I said to the auntie,
the teachers a lot here.
And he was asthmatic, and the nurses who take care of him just asked me what him do.
Yeah.
You know, people make a connection to the children who pass through their hands, whether they're teachers, guidance counselors, people who sell outside the schools. And that's why parents, whether male or female, I feel, should always have a connection to all these people, because they are extensions of you.
Of the family.
Yes.
And of us, they are our future.
Correct.
Especially the teachers, because they pave the way. They send us out in the world for work. You know, and to carry ourselves a certain way, because your parents do it, but some parents ain't got no time. Yep. And the teachers, their mother and father, a lot of children.
Yep.
And don't talk about my school. I have to talk about that because at the top of government.
I know that.
I think your part belongs to their memorial.
Listen, I always say I was a Springer boy from the first time I came to Barbados to the last time, okay? But let me ask you this question, right? What did you do at Springer?
What I did, what, in subject?
No, what you did when you worked there.
I worked there. I went to school at Springer.
Good. And you still have an attachment to Springer, right?
That is my school.
There you go.
That helped more than me.
There you go. And you still feel a connection to it all these years after, right?
I would die.
And when you see a Springer uniform, you feel a certain way about it.
Of course.
Right.
If I see any of the young ladies, and I see them misbehaving or anything,
you tell them that's not a Springer girl, right?
Yes.
You wore the hat?
Huh?
You wore a hat? Or you
no,
used to just walk with the hat?
Panama hat.
Oh, you were after the Panama hat?
I was after the Panama hat. Every
I know.
But a lot of my friends, and I love when I go in the government offices and think I see my girls over there. And we got us like members one of another.
You know, I knew quite a few of them.
You know, in life, you raise the parents that ain't really talk to you, and you thought that good life was good, because my family's the same, my days from overseas, and they thought life would have been always good. And they start then to kick in late, in my late, but anyhow, thank God I still made it to a certain way, because everybody get an education to do everything to get a home and a family. So
correct.
And I'm thankful. I try to talk to my children. I try to talk to my grads. I try to talk to people to put them right.
Yep.
And I ain't envy nobody. If I see anybody going the wrong road, or I could help them, I tell them. Sometimes people get vexed with me because I am very outspoken, but I mean well in some instances. So, Mr. Johnson, it is a pleasure speaking to you. You know, we could set hearts at first, because you didn't understand me and you didn't understand my friend. But I love you. I don't care what the boys do. I don't let them do. Mr. Ellis must be there laughing, because the time I come on, he's telling me he started training for it. Mr. Johnson something.
Listen, let me tell you something, right? Perhaps it's the thing about Springer girls and me. They always hate me and then they love me. I don't know why. They do it regularly. All of them.
We have to laugh because it is very serious. And we need to share and help each other now in this point, though. Anybody that got school clothes that look good, help somebody.
Books that could be used again, give it to them. Something to read, share it. Yep,
what agreed. The parents should do too, Mr. Johnson, is allow the children, if you are not working now, the shoes and the clothes still look good, explain to them. Sometimes, well, I as a mother used to keep one that if my child go into any function or anything, that uniform, especially for that, so that will be always looking good. If you have a uniform like that, explain to the child that you can't really give new clothes this time. And let them go. If they have to go to school, let them go along to school. The shoemakers here now that wanted, they didn't get into work, they're getting work now. Carry the shoes, and if you could get them whole sole or whatever, put on your polish and send them along. I think the clothes that you wanted is the education. And a lot of them, I know people, big prominent people this day do the work on the lamp. Had a lamp, they had electricity, and they made it. So it seems like we got to go back to some of these things, and we got to adjust.
Ma'am, it is the sign of the times. Full circle. We can go back to ground food too. Thank you for sharing. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Yeah, I sent a note to David there last week when I heard somebody made a comment about the junction there at Westmoreland. On reflection on it, I think the other side, I know you all love to put the other side of things. The other side of it is that from the time I saw the lights going up, I figured it would cause a bit of a block up on the highway. But the reality is, though, that when you're trying to exit those two junctions from either St. Silas or Westmoreland, it is a very harrowing experience. And the lights are quite a relief to those who have to exit from St. Silas or Westmoreland. Maybe a roundabout would have been better, but the fact that those lights are there is a tremendous benefit to people who are trying to get onto the highway.
Let me ask this question, someone who apparently uses the area frequently. Is it a case of, because it's new, they haven't got the synchronization of the lights correctly, can they be activated by, you know, sometimes the buildup of traffic? There are areas in Barbados where the traffic lights are regulated differently. And some work well, some, you know, cause a little bit of friction. I know it's new, and those who travel perhaps travel along the Royal Map Highway and they don't try to come out of any of the side streets, it may be inconvenient for them to have to stop. But as you say, coming out of there, especially if you want to come and turn right against the flow of traffic, with the speed at which people travel along that highway, it must be very difficult.
Dennis, I used to approach there and say to myself as I approach that junction, patience. Yeah. It's going to clear sometime, and you could sit there forever. But you just have to tell yourself, just be patient. We don't have to do that anymore. But I'd say to you that there is a lot of traffic on that highway. Unless you use that highway, you might not be aware of how much traffic is on that highway, especially in the morning and in the evening going north, in the morning coming south. So the reality is that any blockage at all on the highway, a vehicle even paused on the highway briefly, can build up, lit a really big buildup of traffic on the highway. And that is the challenge. So you can imagine what would happen with the traffic lights, especially if the morning is busy. And I think the main challenge would be morning drive time and evening drive time. But having said that, if you're a person who is coming up from St. Silas,
it's a blessing.
Morning, you are thankful for those traffic lights. Yeah.
I wait to see how well the filter coming out of Westmoreland works, because there is a filter there.
Yeah, but the space is not much.
Wide.
So once a vehicle gets ahead of you, you're not going to be able to use it.
Use it at all, right? Which is what I thought, because you have to be almost right up on the lights to turn,
exactly.
Like the one on our Bridge Road, where you have to be almost on it to turn, yeah.
So that's really the challenge, you know. I think I guess the folk would look at the best option that they had based on what resources they had, and the danger that junction really presented to pedestrians and motorists. So
I know the pedestrians must be happy.
Yeah, as users of the highway, we just need to exercise a little more patience. If I'm going north, what I do is just before it got activated, I noticed in the evening there was some buildup. I take the left turn at the junction, going down to Trent. And approach Westmoreland then from Porters.
Okay.
So there's some options, you know. But it can be, I will see, so far, I have not seen it as being really bad. There's been some traffic buildup, but going in on evenings, I have not seen it that kind of challenge yet. And coming out of mornings, of course, I'm happy that
you can get out.
That I can get out.
Well, let's hope that if we have the increase in traffic, one, and two, I know it used to be an area heavily used by cane trailers, that you don't have more complaints. But it's still early days, and as you say, those who live on the sides will be very thankful for it, and the pedestrians. Thanks a lot, and good to hear you. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, man?
Me? In between. I live frustrated, but such is life.
What's up?
We think the next 2 months, 27 days, it's going to be independent of my country. But are we really independent? That the question is asked myself. Now, we have Her Majesty Prison, Her Majesty Customs. Does she substitute these things?
No, they wear her traditional uniforms and carries the weight of the existence of the institution.
Yes, but I'm independent. Why must I carry your name? I leave my mother's house and she come at me and tell me how to run it?
Because she's left the guidelines for you to run it. There's some mothers that's come into your house and tell you, take off your shoes and move that from there.
Yeah, but I'm
invited or not?
I'm supposed to be an independent country. That's my given. If you independent, the Queen still have a hand over you, you're not independent.
She doesn't really have a hand. We just acknowledge her.
Okay. Well, another thing that got me frustrated. Everything Barbie has spent over the last few years, water, light, you name it. How come that the deposit for parliament candidates in the election have not moved over the last 15, 20 years? It seemed to $250?
Because those who have the power to change it don't want to? And the people can't make them change it, nor the Queen.
But she's the head, though, isn't she?
So she is not. She is the figurative head.
Okay.
She can't tell us to do nothing anymore. We're now adults.
Okay, and another thing. I remember before my late Prime Minister had died, he was fighting for the Republican to make Barbados a republic.
He said so. I don't think he was fighting.
Huh?
He had said so, but I don't think he was fighting.
Yeah, but did they not have the meetings and stuff?
Correct. Correct.
So what, stopping us from going in that direction?
Because the public don't want it. They were supposed to have a referendum too. Has it been done? So the problem, sir, here's the problem. The problem with most of the things that governments say or try to do is getting the buy-in from the public. And as long as political office depends on having people like you, you will continue to have that problem. We talked about abolishing the 11 plus. There are those who want it. There are those who don't want it. And the argument has been going on for years. You now have the question of same-sex unions, whether they should be called marriage or not, whether it should be recognized or not, whether it will bring down the wrath of God or not. And so that will go on till after I'm dead and gone. And you have the problem of Republican status, where the minute you say republic, people say, Trinidad is a republic, it's in a mess. This country is a republic, it's in a mess. That country is in a republic, there's overthrow governments all the time. Republic means chaos, mass confusion. There ain't nothing wrong with Britain. Same thing with Lord Nelson, same thing with Africa. You mention Africa, that backward place, them people don't speak English. What are we going there for? They can't offer we nothing. You know, I now see we're putting two embassies there. And the discussion will start about what we can gain from it. Who can get a pick because they're who friends and family can go there and they can live large off the hog. We can't afford it. So and the arguments will go on and on and on because political power depends on having a number of people like you.
I hear that. But I would like this country to be become a republic.
Because?
In my book, because that stigma with the Queen still, the Governor General, with respect to the office in that sense. But I don't think, I believe I'm an independent, I should be running my own affairs without getting the backing, so to speak. Because if, I don't know, hypothetically speaking, if the Queen had said, send a message to the Governor General, this or that, Governor General got to convey the message, right?
The Governor General will convey the message of Her Majesty, but it does not mean that you have to accept it.
Okay.
But because governors general have made comments that premiers, not even prime ministers, premiers did not like, and they will remove them from office.
Okay.
They write a letter to Her Majesty, depending on how much backing they have in Parliament, and say that person X or Y no longer has the backing of whatever, or they get the person to tender a resignation, and they change the whole layout of the office. This has been done. No, I won't say where or why, but let me put it this way. Trinidad and Tobago is a republic, right?
Yeah.
I remember when the Trinidad and Tobago Constitution was being changed. Neil Giuseppe, who was the head of news and public affairs at Trinidad and Tobago Television, had an opportunity to speak to Eric Williams, and he asked him, what will the president do under the new constitution? And Eric Williams, who did not like Neil Giuseppe or did not like being questioned by journalists in general, right, said, the president will do what the governor general always did. And that was the end of the answer. Now, what he was trying to find out was what were the constitutional requirements of a president. But that's not what he asked. He asked what the president will do. And Eric Williams simply said what the governor general always used to do. So it meant technically that although you changed the name of the holder of the office, in the eyes of that particular prime minister,
it's the same thing.
He's doing the same thing, yes. He will do he or she, whoever sits in that office, will simply sign whatever bills I send to them. And that would be the end of that.
Yeah. So it's 6-1.5, doesn't it?
Well, apart from the change of name and the amount to upkeep the office, yeah.
Okay, Mr.
Yeah.
Johnson.
So let me say to you, though, let me say on a serious note. Constitutional change is important to every country. It is important because that's what regulates your life as a citizen of that particular country. So people should feel some way about their constitution, about what it allows them to do, their rights as citizens, how they manage the country, and so on, right?
Yeah.
If people do not feel any different about whether the holder of the office is called a governor general, appointed by Her Majesty, or a president elected by the people, or a president appointed by the parliament, because there are different types of republican constitution. Ghana, for example, has an executive president, whereas Dominica does not, Trinidad does not. But, you know, so there are different types of constitutions. So people have to understand what the differences are, whether it would make a difference to their lives, a meaningful difference, whether they could measure that meaningful, put meaningful in inverted commas. Because people tell you, if all the person can do is change the name, they can still be sitting down in president's house instead of government house. They can still only be visiting old people and signing bills, which is what they think the governor general does. If that's all they believe it is, then they can ask, why are you changing it? But if they can see how constitutional change will affect their daily lives, they may want to make the difference. Others, they'll say, it makes no difference to me. Call them what you want to call them and put whoever you want to put there. I ain't voting for them. Full stop. And it has to be sold to the people. They have to be told why you want to change it and how it's going to affect their daily lives. As the people say, if you can change the price of, well, Peter used cheese yesterday, so I'm going to use butter today. But good to hear you, sir. Thanks for your comments. And I know my producer, technical operator, will make sure I get one more in, I'm sure. It's 6 minutes. Good afternoon. Provided they answer. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hey.
Very quickly, I wanted to speak to you before the young men called in.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what I wanted to say, that I followed you from inception at Starcom, and over the years, I find you have mellowed. There are people that have a disarming smile. Yeah? You have a disarming voice, but you have mellowed, and your voice has now become a disarming presence. From the most serious matter, whether it's political, personal, with your callers, down to any subject under the sun, Dennis Johnson is the man for all seasons. I mean no disrespect to the other moderators at Starcom, absolutely no disrespect. I'm just saying it as I and others out here are seeing it. That interaction with those young men, to me, was the icing on top of the icing on top of the cake.
Sir, I thank you very much for that. I enjoyed it myself. The tone and the presence of the young gentleman took me back to a time when I was perhaps a young boy, and that's why I enjoyed it so much. But I really, really thank you for your comments, sir.
May I say this in closing? Mm-hmm. Those young gentlemen, I am a primary school teacher of that age range, and that is reflective of so many of the boys that we teach. They're not the minority.
Good.
Those are among the majority, which deserve to be
heard,
deserve to be should be showcased.
Sir, and that is why I was happy, because some, as I said, so many times we hear about those who fall through the cracks. We see the pictures of those in the handcuffs, and we talk about those with their pants below their waist, and we seem to project the impression that this is what our male species, the male of the species, that's what we are. As a male, I object to it. And we talk about boys being, you know, boys need to be boys, let me put it that way. They need to push the boundaries, yes, because they're still seen as leaders. And, you know, there's a thing about boy, you know, that I don't think the gender has changed over the years so much. But still, from them, when they are channeled properly, when they feel challenged in the right way, they respond positively. And listening to those young guys today, I felt proud of our youth. And I'm glad you say that those you teach, you see more of these types of youngsters than more of the other types that we hear about so much. Those with challenges, making it seem that all our children in school are having problems learning. And I don't think that's right at all. I don't think it
not
is.
Not at all. keep the good work up, Dennis.
Thank you very, very, very much indeed, sir. I really am pleased that you made the call. I want the parents out there to understand that don't write us off too early or don't write us off too late either. And I want to ask the gentlemen out there who may have listened to the young boys today, who may have young boys in their care, or who may have neglected their duties as males because of differences with the other party. And let me say, I know from bitter experience that we are sometimes provoked, we are sometimes pulled down, we are sometimes emasculated by the females we've chosen to associate with. Perhaps we've brought out the bad in them, but don't let our children pay for it. And far too often, they do. Thanks, Michelle, for taking care of things technical. And thank you, especially thanks to the camp counselor and those boys for making this an extra special Down to Brass Tacks for me. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the rest of the week. I don't think I'll be with you tomorrow. Should be back producing on Sunday. But take care, whatever you do, and have a great one.